So this one's gonna be.
Order. Sue, got it, Sue?
Great.
Okay, so has everyone had the opportunity, welcome to everyone. What happened to your foot? Oh, Lord.
Not on one of our buses, though, right?
Good answer.
I'm looking, she has a, your hand's broken, too. What is going on?
This is all age.
So, everybody, welcome. First bit of order is to review the minutes. I've looked them over, they meet with my approval, I looked at them earlier. Any comments, edits, changes, or motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved from the last meeting. And Kristen, we'll get into your report.
Okay. I don't have a lot to report. Actually, I feel like we were just here. But the days seem to be moving faster than they ever did before. So we had three new drivers in our driver class for the month of February. Two were new. One was a returning from long-term medical leave. We are staffing up in preparation for the May 5th. Because we do need a few more drivers to implement the changes with the TDP. We have, First Transit has made an offer to a candidate for our Assistant General Manager of Maintenance, and it looks like they will potentially be starting in mid-April. And in an effort not to jinx myself, I won't say any names for any of the. We also have a new transit analyst planner that will be starting April 1st, so next week. We are very excited to have him come. And then we have a grants and compliance manager position that we received applications on, some of which were internal, and we'll be moving forward with that in the upcoming weeks, filling that position. In February, we had two inclement weather events. Thankfully, there were no vehicle accidents or passenger incidents involved with either one. The February 10th into February through February 12th, we didn't have any closures to our service, and service started regular time. We didn't have much in the way of delays. The incident on Wednesday, February 20th, we started with regular service with limited stop closures. And the snow fell fairly heavily that morning. We suspended service in mid-morning and then ended up canceling service for the day, partially due to a lot of the roads weren't plowed. So just for the safety of our drivers and all the riders, we did have supervisors and managers out picking people up to try and get them to their destination so no one was stranded until right around 5 o'clock, actually. And hopefully we are beyond the weather events at this point and won't have to deal with that for a while now.
So just from a magnitude scale, how many people, like our folks who were out picking people up because of the bus service was, halted for the weather? Was it 1, 10, 20, 50, 100? Just ballpark. Just kind of.
So we have, at the start of the events, we have a minimum of three safety teams that have a couple individuals. So we may have anywhere from 5 to 6 supervisors on the street. The Assistant General Manager, Mr. Johnson, he is out on the street at 3:30 in the morning, I think, assessing the roads and working with our lead supervisor to determine the safety of the roads and if we need to stop serving particular stops due to the conditions. Because we did suspend service, we had them hold at some of the hub points at Columbia Mall and then ended up making a decision to.
To answer the total passenger question, I'm going to say it was probably between anywhere from 100 to 125 people that we transported up until about 5 p.m., and that included the paratransit ADA needs passengers that were, say, out at dialysis or doctor's appointments. So we made sure they got home. And then throughout the course of the day, from the folks that were stranded at the bus hubs till the end of the day, I'd say it was upwards of 100 to 125 at least.
What vehicles do you use when you're driving around? I mean,
we have our supervisor vehicles, and we have five all-wheel drive vehicles, plus I use my personal vehicle. Whenever a situation is bad, I use my personal vehicle and let my vehicle be used by another manager.
Okay, so they're a four-wheel drive, they can make it through.
Yeah, we can put as many as three people in each of those. We can put four in there, but it's a little uncomfortable in the back seat having three across. Mm-hmm. But if necessary, we will do that.
Okay.
We continued, the bulk of the focus has been on getting the TDP ready to go for that May 5th deadline. I'll go into a little bit more with the outreach and the plans that have been taking place, getting the new maps and schedules in place, the website building further along in my update. With the fiscal 20 budget, at this point, I think the next step is going to be scheduling a meeting with the jurisdictional staff to see where we are in their budget cycles and how our budget is shaping up. So we'll do that in the next couple of weeks, and then in April come back to you all with an update of where we are and the intent of when to bring the budget for your consideration. The Riders Advisory Council did meet Thursday, March 14th. Due to the timing, I think we've decided that moving forward, the Riders Advisory Council meets every other month. So the month following the meeting, Ms. Curtis will come and give you a full in-depth update as to what occurred and any action that's taken since the meeting occurred as well. It just timing-wise for this meeting and that meeting, getting everything together that quickly has proved a little challenging. But I think she is happy to answer any questions or raise some topics. You wanted to wait until the end, right? Okay. From a safety standpoint, we had two preventable accidents and two non-preventable vehicle accidents in the month of February, and two non-preventable passenger accidents. There's a summary of each of those accidents below that I won't read through. And then a summary of, we didn't have any workers' comp cases filed in the month of February, which is great. And then a summary from February of 2019 to how we did the previous year. Similar numbers, really. Not much changes from one year to the next.
Kristen, quick question on the two non-preventable accidents. Do they have, police reports? It sounds like they were both vehicle strikes. Do you know if they included any police activity or reports?
I don't know that a formal. Both of them were hit and runs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm assuming we had a police report done, and we would have our supervisor reports done. We did have one passenger claim injury in one of those incidents. So yes, we have what we do on our side as well as a police report, and we can, if you want to see those.
That was one of my questions as well, but also, was there by any chance where you had the individual pulled away with the nozzle and it was still in the fuel tank?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any type of spill associated with that?
Actually, I think the spill was minimal. It flew back and actually damaged the cover, I think, on the light, I believe. So we had that damage. But the spill was actually minimal because I think it shuts off. And we did some retraining with the employee to address that. I think sometimes we all move too quickly.
Not me. Not anymore.
Our monthly safety meeting in February was focused on a sort of year in the review of all the topics that have been discussed. In addition, we rolled out a new electronic device policy that became effective February 15th. So there was a question and answer of sorts as part of the safety meeting. We missed our quota for the drug and alcohol random compliance program for the month of February. We've been having some challenges with candidates that we're having some random people are being selected, and they work for our taxi contractor. And it seems to be a reoccurring issue that they are either out of the country or not available, even though when they provided their employee list, they were listed. So we will be meeting with our contractor in the near future to discuss that issue, as well as working with the company that actually pulls our randoms for the month to figure out a solution to help so that at year end we are in fact in compliance, that we aren't running into
the same.
Yeah,
you need to let them know that's unacceptable.
Yeah, and I think it's the...
This is twice now.
Yes.
You counted up to be three times.
Yes.
And I think one of the ways that we were discussing actually this morning is having sort of a contingency where extra people are being pulled to address things like this, where someone is out of the country, you have others you can pull from, so that we are meeting the quota for the month.
Why were you, have you talked with, because this was the other time from the cab company?
It was.
Yes.
Have you found out why so many of theirs go out of the country? Are they like renewing their visas, or what are they doing?
I believe it's family related issues is what is being said. We've had conversations verbally over the phone, but I think it needs to be a sit down of to really look at, to continue doing business with them.
Yeah,
it has to be addressed. I think there have been off and on issues.
It has been off and on, and at times it gets better. However, at this time, I think the way we're going to go is when we meet, we're going to put specifications on there that each month, at the beginning of each month, you know when your folks are going to be gone. You need to tell us if this person is going to be available this month. If not, we're going to look for an alternate pool from our hireling, who sends us right now a set list to keep us within the specifications for the year-end numbers. But what we're looking for is an alternate pool as well. So if we have X amount of employees and two or three of them may not be available, they give us a list of hopefully 10% more that we can insert to be able to meet our numbers.
And they either meet our numbers or we find somebody else.
Yes.
That's
right.
What I say.
And
it's their problem. Don't make it ours.
Right. Well, and that is one of the looking at potentially going out and doing a competitive procurement, to have either a new vendor that we're using or multiple vendors that we have that we can
access. What's the magnitude, just kind of ballpark, of what revenue they get from us in a year? Do we have any idea off the top of our head?
In a year?
Yearly.
Taxi vendor?
Yeah.
Taxi vendor gets about 1,000, average 1,100 trips a month.
What's that in dollars?
In hours will be about 500 hours, they perform about two trips per hour. So about a month, 500 hours.
What's that for?
$250,000.
So Columbia, we're paying them $250,000 in revenue to them. They need to get it squared away or we shop it around.
Right.
That's just that simple.
Well, and I think we've been using this vendor since the start.
Yeah, I
so I think
from Columbus and just kind of, yeah. I understand.
As I mentioned, the focus really has been on the TDP. There's a whole long list of everything that has taken place. It may actually, Sue, I hate to put you on the spot, but you may actually be the better one to go through all of your...
Sure, I've got show and tell items. Makes it even more fun.
It does.
Does everybody have a marketing calendar on the table?
Is that what this is?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lot going on, a lot of fun things to share. Okay, so basically, with the marketing campaign that we have set is twofold. It addresses the TDP and all of the changes for the routes, and it also promotes our RouteShout 2.0 mobile app. And the two of them together working kind of in tandem with one another to help support each other. So the route changes will begin on Sunday, May 5th, and it affects the 401, the 402, A and B, 403, 405, 6, 7, 8, 9, 414, and the 501. To promote it for the riders, we have two main pieces. One is, and I have samples here, and I'm saying they're just samples right now because we may make some edits on them, but everything should release April 1st through the 5th. That's kind of our time frame to release and start notifying the riders. Interior bus signs will be posted. Rider flyers will be complete on the buses, and a promotional brochure, which is a 42-page kind of in-detail brochure, along with the website. So we've got pretty much 10 days before this all happens. But this piece here is the rider flyer. It's a two-page rider flyer, and this is going to post first. I'm just going to pass them, you can kind of pass them down. The second piece, the rider brochure, which is the 45-page piece. Here I've got the cover. We're still working on all the elements on the inside. But this is the front cover, announces the date, the routes that are going to be affected. And then here we've got a letter from the Howard County exec. We just got that from PIO the other day. And then these are the two back pieces to the cover. And I'll share a sample of the interior here. Okay, so it's got all of the, just very similar to how our public hearing materials ran, where you've got highlights of all the different routes. An interesting piece we added to this just recently were Howard County resources. So all the resources that are through the county where our new bus routes will run, we post exactly what route all those resources are on. So I think that'll be a nice piece. I see a lot of people like either keeping the booklet or maybe tearing it out and using it as a reference tool. We're also going to post it on the website because there's a lot of helpful links for people and addresses in here as well. So within each route, you've got the key highlights. You've got the service span, like we did before, a new map for each route, and that goes through each individual one with new timetables. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about print. We've got print beginning with Baltimore Sun Media Group, which includes the Howard County Times, the Columbia Flyer, Laurel Leader, the Crawford and West County, and the Bowie Blade. All those papers together, 142,000 papers will be distributed, and that will be running April the 11th is a full-page ad. It will look similar to this, where it will have the announcement in the Baltimore Sun, and then the new system map and a push for the RouteShout app down below.
What day in the Sun will that be at?
That is going to be on April 11th in all the papers that I just listed. In addition to that, we will have quarter page ads that will run that will look like this. We're also picking up the Greenbelt News, so we'll be running two in the Greenbelt News and two in the Beacon as well. So they'll look similar to this as a quarter page, and we'll run three quarter page ads, April 18th, the 25th, and then, I'm sorry, April 18th, and then May 2nd, and May 9th. So right after the release, we'll come out with one more after that. Let's see, that's print. We also have a digital campaign going. Digital will focus on, it'll be an email blast campaign. We've purchased email lists that are associated with community resources within the county for hospitals and senior centers and community organizations, things like that, and that's our digital campaign. What that does is it promotes the routes, and it also will focus on promoting people to utilize, you know, download RouteShout 2.0 to utilize the app for real-time information, because come May 5th, all that information will change, and we want people to be able to have it on their phone without worrying about, I don't have a paper schedule. But hold up, we will have paper schedules. Just in case, we'll have all the paper schedules out on the buses. We'll have them all distributed to all the organizations as well. And those should hit probably mid-April. I'm going to say maybe April 17th. We'll start getting those out. What else do we have? I think that's it. We also, in promotion with the Route Shout app, we have drivers that are going to be wearing the Route Shout t-shirts. So you'll see it highlighted in yellow. We're going to distribute all these shirts to the operators promoting the app.
You'll be able to see them.
It tells you, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, how to download the app. And we also have business cards that they'll be handing out. And we'll be doing outreach throughout April and into mid-May, handing out the brochure, talking about the changes, answering questions that riders may have, and also helping people download the app, like how to do it. We've got some promotional pieces. We've got a cell phone piece that goes on the back of your cell phone. You can hold, like, you know, cards, credit cards, things like that. We've got some Blistex. Just some items to give away as well. Interior of the buses, we have a sign that will look like this, which will be 11 by 28. Two of them will be in each bus, one in English, one in Spanish. That will go up next week. And one last piece, and this is interesting, and I think I showed a sample earlier. This is called a Z-fold, and it is a card similar to like a Post-it that goes on the outside of every paper. And all the newspapers that I mentioned earlier will have a distribution of 130,000 copies that will have this Z-fold front and back. It's like a little card, fan-folded and glued to the paper. This here highlights each individual route and the new stops. It highlights all the stops. So somebody can put this in their pocket, carry it with them for many months to come, and they can reference it and say, okay, I want to take the 402A, where does it go? Well, it runs Monday through Saturday, tells what the major destination is, but then all the stops with it too. So I think this is a really nice key element for the riders to have. In addition to that, we have one more surprise. Howard County is doing a video series, and we just had some interviews over at 8800 today. Kristen was interviewed, Michael Morgan, some drivers, and they were shooting some B-roll of the buses. They're going to do a social media video series about the TDP changes, Route Shout, and I'm sure we'll have the new county exec in there as well. And that will happen through the month.
Will that be on the Howard County government's website?
Yes. It'll be on ours. We'll pick up the link. We'll share the link out on social media.
Awesome.
So they're working on it now. It'll take a few weeks for them to splice everything together. And then we're considering having a launch date on Friday before the 5th. And doing an interview with the county executive for that. So, any questions?
I followed a bus on the way over here, an RTA bus on the way over, and the advertisement on the back was, I think it was for urgent care. It said, feel like you've been hit by a bus.
Mm-hmm. They've run that for several years.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We had complained to them about it last year.
Okay.
And made it an. Here we are.
You remembered the ad. I guess that was their whole point. Their intent was
I did remember the ad, yes.
Yeah.
Can you get Alan a month's worth of those t-shirts? He said he'll wear them every day in April.
Cutting the lawn, going along.
I'll wear them at the gym. Lifetime in Columbia.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. The drivers are going to be wearing them on Tuesdays and Fridays.
They'll be seen.
Through the end of May to promote it.
I think you ran through all those bullets.
Yeah.
And, we've been living this for the last 2 months right now.
I would like to say you all have done an outstanding job. The public, everyone in the public should really be aware of the upcoming changes based on the information that you are putting out there. So I say kudos to the RTA for getting all this together.
Thank you. And Howard County too. And it's I think whenever you're dealing with a wide population, and with so many different ages, you really have to have a strong marketing layered campaign. Some people are print readers only, some people are web, some people are social media. So as long as you're kind of tapping all those different areas and you're making sure that your exposure is, you know, within your service area, I think we're doing it right this time around.
Just had a question.
Sure.
How many, what you call hubs, how many hubs do you have where people change buses?
It's pretty much three. Correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew.
Correct.
It's Howard County, I mean, it's Columbia Mall, it's Laurel, and it's Maryland Food Center.
Oh, just one.
Arundel Mills.
We have three, what we would consider fairly large hubs, with, mm-hmm. of course, Columbia Mall being the largest, and then we have a smaller connecting point at Maryland Food Center and at Snowden Square.
Even though you've been putting out stuff, and it's in all different kinds of forms, on the day it happens, there's still going to be somebody mm-hmm. who's going to be sitting there going, I have no idea. So at the hub, are you thinking of having maybe somebody, a person, wearing a yellow t-shirt, information, or whatever, just for maybe the first couple of days so that people...
Yeah, that's part of the outreach. So we've got a whole outreach schedule, and I didn't share that today because we're still working on getting some callbacks of locations that we can attend and what times and days we can be there. But we're coordinating with Howard County to have a whole outreach schedule that'll begin April the 8th and run through mid-May.
Okay, but especially on the changeover day.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because I must admit, when I use Metro, if there's any kind of problem, I just look for somebody that's a person and has a Metro uniform.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because looking at the schedules, I get confused.
Right. Yep.
You're taking my move, Jay. That's my move.
We're planning.
Oh!
Yeah, we've got a big team that we're all going to get out there.
Okay.
So the hub is over by Borders. That's the hub at the mall?
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. It's pretty, I've been over there a couple of times just sit there and kind of watch. It's pretty good activity. It mm-hmm. makes you feel good. There's a lot of action going on there.
Okay. Any other questions? No?
Okay. So I see in the... Do you want to go into the ad rep? You want to finish everything in your report and then we go to the financials?
It's included in both sections, so we can just go right into the financials.
Okay.
I think we did discuss that we're going to defer the election of the chairperson and vice chairperson. We're going to go into executive session.
Afterwards.
From here,
so
after this
figure
meeting.
Figure out who's going to do what. Yes, ma'am. Sorry about that.
Well, as busy as you hear February was, RTA was extremely busy. When you look at the financial statements for February, there was a few items to highlight, but it wasn't overwhelming out of the norm. But as you will see, the RTA was under budget for the month of February by $137,373. Year-to-date, we were under budget now by $573,000. Cash fares are below budget for the month, $23,618. 28 days, there was two snow events or inclement weather events during the month of February. When I look at ticket sales and cash sales compared to this 8 months ending February compared to 8 months ending February of 2018, we're down by 24.5%. So, ticket sales are for the month of February are comparative. Advertising revenue, $3,805. But when I look at last year, there's an improvement. The month of February was only $3,045. When we look at staffing compared to budget in all five categories, you'll notice that we, in total, are below budget by $79,200. But you have to remember that if there's 30 or 31 days, so we're down, you know, we're 3 days less than other months. Plus we have vacancies amongst the driver pool, plus administratively. When you look at shelter expense, We do have clearing expense for the two snow events. Maintenance, parts, we use $39,000 compared to the budget of $53,000. Outside service repairs, we had one major repair, which was $15,141, and that was for the a total complete interior roof replacement to a bus. Everything else was to a bus.
Yeah, we have major, it sagged, and we had major leaking coming in.
Our average.
How old's the bus? Is it an older one, newer
2010?
One?
2010. Yeah. One of the truck buses, right?
Those buses had structural issues all along. I think we've replaced, over the years, we've probably replaced 9 roofs.
So who's the manufacturer of this, so we know?
Eldorado.
Eldorado.
Yes. They were the truck style bus.
Right. Sorry.
We have an average of $3,000 in savings with our towing expense. We have, and we spoke about the new hires.
$3,000 a month? Wow.
Compared to budget.
Right.
We did have some website design project, and we did have some legal expense and an employee settlement in the month of February. So pretty streamlined. So if you have any questions as you go through all the detail, don't hesitate to ask or call, email. It's a lot of numbers.
Well, it's a good summary. Questions? Any commissioners? Jeff?
And I know I've asked this question before, but do you have an exit? I mean, I know I've asked this, and I'm not sure I got a good answer. Otherwise, I would remember it, I hope. An exit interview with any employee that's leaving?
We have some. I would not say that we are doing 100%. Maybe half do exit interviews.
Okay.
And obviously, our largest employee pool is on the driver's side. So they are interacting pretty closely with our HR manager as well as Andrew Johnson.
What are the main reasons for leaving?
Some move on to other opportunities in the driving field.
All right, I would say better pay. Okay.
That's, I would say, the majority, or they've just had change in their life, mm-hmm. In the needs of what they need to do in terms of.
When we get to a kind of a year review, it would really be helpful, I think, if we had a list. These people left because it was better pay, because that is ammunition for us when we're trying to get more money from the state or more money from a county. We're losing drivers because we can't pay them, or we can't fill a position because we're not offering the right money. I mean, we have to have data. But it also would give us an idea, perhaps, if there's some other reasons. Did they leave because they just didn't feel welcome in the industry, whatever. I mean, there may be some issues.
Okay.
So we're gonna move over the election to executive session. We just finished the financial. Sue did a pretty good job. Jason, is anything you want to add, or is the
No,
you steal all your thunder?
No, that was pretty good.
That was pretty comprehensive. Yeah. Anything you would like to add, or any questions or comments to Sue's presentation? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the open public comment period. So anybody have anything they'd like to add for the good of the order?
Do we have...
I just have a question.
Mr. May is on the left.
When it comes down to the REC, I've been saying on the buses that they're asking for volunteers. And you know, I've been coming here since December when you talked about the original TDP. I was wondering whether the commission could, you know, make a motion to just anybody that is willing to volunteer, regardless of where they're from, to get the 6 people on the REC board. And then if and when some people from Prince George's and Anne Arundel County come forward, then those people will step back.
So you're saying if it's, you're asking if it's okay if it's totally Howard County centric for the REC?
Until we, yes.
So we actually met prior to this meeting and discussed, I think, some of the logistics when the bylaws were created and the idea of the REC. I think they had one idea in mind, which was to have representatives from each of the jurisdictions. And as we've seen, it hasn't really come to fruition. So my thought was that from a staffing side, we needed to get together because, one, there needs to be a little more formalization of how the RAC works and timing of the different things going in and out, the deliverables, and then come to you all so we can have that discussion of how it should look or potentially, because one of the pieces is if you have two representatives from each county, as Mr. May said, and we aren't getting those representatives, how do we actually make up that council? Is it just anybody can come? So I'd ask that we meet and get you all some information so we can have an informed discussion of what you all are thinking of for the future as to how it actually looks. Because the bylaws as they exist today are pretty vague. It is just there's two people per jurisdiction. The purpose of the committee is to have the customer service and to share information with you all. It doesn't really define anything else. So I think after our discussion, looking at formalizing some of it and then bringing something to you all so we can have a more informed discussion of and get your thoughts on how you think it should look.
I could see where there may be more representatives from Howard County, let's say, than Prince George's. Mm-hmm. To get someone from Prince George's is going to be very difficult,
right,
because of the distance.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell somebody from Howard County, well, we're going to put you on, and as soon as we find somebody else, I'm sorry, you're going to leave. You're the low man or low woman,
right,
on the totem pole. That's going to cause a little problem there. So you're right, you're going to have to work something out, but I could see where there may be more from Howard County, fewer from here, and then maybe fewer from Prince George's altogether.
Yeah, and just my experience in Prince George's County, it's difficult to get people to come out. I'm not exactly sure in Anne Arundel, but I imagine generally if you aren't cutting something, people aren't as inclined to come out and voice their concerns or their experiences. The minute that you say you're going to raise the price or you're going to cut service, that's when they come out in droves. So it is a challenging position, but I think trying to actually put some thought into how it exists and what really works for the RTA. I think it was modeled after WMATA's Riders Advisory Council, which obviously is on a much grander scale, and I think to some degree they even have trouble keeping people on theirs. So thinking about how it should look so it is a productive council, that I would just ask that we get you all some information over the next month so that we can have a better discussion to talk about some of those things so that it can be addressed.
I personally don't have any issue with if we can get people on. I mean, that's the key to start out
right.
with. And I don't think they should be booted off. I think they could be able,
just
expand it on what it is, because I see a lot of the problems are more generalized than specific a lot of times, mm-hmm. I think. And mm-hmm. I think that's the key, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand if everything was my stop, the stop right here, this is the issue
right.
every time, and that doesn't seem to be the issue. It seems to be an overall generalized, like, this is how we want to expand and improve the entire line. And then that's what we're getting from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no issue with
mm-hmm.
that.
It'd be acceptable to me also to just have whoever wants to participate to participate, because what we're talking about is an advisory body to an advisory body.
Right. Right, and that's how it's been. That's really what's happening right now.
Right, and
anybody is welcome. I think the one piece that we did also discuss is the providing transportation, and if it isn't a set group, then are you opening that window up for anybody that wants to be transported? And by transported, it's using our mobility service to transport them, to ensure that they are getting to and from the meeting. But the four meetings that we've had, it has been everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to come and participate and comment. And everybody, it's an equal forum. I think Ms. Estime just gets to help control, control the meeting, but otherwise. And the staff, right? Ms. Estime, you want to talk?
Not really. I think Kristen said it maybe at the next meeting. She will have had an opportunity to kind of like assess what is going on at this point and maybe make recommendations, because I think maybe it just could be simply a few words that could be amended to whatever the bylaws originally said, so that it could be an inclusive group. And then I also had a question about, are all the people who come to the meetings at this point to be considered part of the group? So, and I think, like you just said, that if a person has made an effort to come and participate, can you really say that, no, you're not a part of this group? So maybe the group dynamics need to be sort of amended a little bit.
Yeah. Change that.
By now, do you have a certain number of folks that come just about to every meeting?
The last meeting did not have as many attendees, and as I mentioned to Chris, which she's going to take back, then that may have been because there wasn't the outreach to advise people when the meeting was to be held. I'm truly feeling that may have been. The previous, it's been four meetings altogether. The previous meetings, there has been more attendees. And I do understand there's a lot of work that's going on, and there's really, to be honest about it, there's not enough personnel to get everything, just looking on the inside. There's not enough personnel to keep everything going the way it should be. Maybe once this rollout takes place, then, the RTA can get back to the duties that should be at hand to ensure that the committee is going to go forth and have their meetings like they should. But I truly feel maybe it was that the outreach was missing, and that's why. But we've gotten a lot of good suggestions, as you have seen from the minutes that come out. And, of course, you can listen to the recording also. But I want to see the group function as you all had envisioned. And in order for that to happen, because we don't have the representation from the other two counties, maybe we need to look at how we should form the committee if we're not really going to get people to come out.
Yeah.
Any other? So what I'm kind of hearing is, unless there's an objection by any commissioners, is that, Kristen, you do exactly what you elaborated you want to do for the next month. Come back. I would just say, me as a commissioner, my philosophy where I come from this is the more the merrier, the better. And we want to make it representative. I don't mind it being a little more heavy toward Howard County myself, because of the nature of the service right now. But I do want to make it, and this is nothing against all the volunteers from Howard County, where are we meeting here at RTA for the Writers Advisory Council?
So we've actually moved the meeting around a little bit. We did the first meeting here.
Yeah.
We met at the North Laurel Community Center, the Bain Center in Columbia. And then the Howard County, we met at the library, Central Library.
Yes, that's very Howard County centric. And I'm a commissioner from Howard County besides North Laurel. So you just might want to factor that into your thought process, you know, in an effort to try to encourage more members on the, you know, once in a while you, just think about it and come back. And I do personally believe that you should be a rider to be on the council. If you're not a rider, then, you know, just come to, that's my personal opinion, but I'm open to whatever you guys want to talk about.
And I think thus far, all of the attendees who have had an opinion has been a rider. There was one lady at the very first meeting who actually was not a rider, but she was the parent of a rider and speaking on behalf.
Anybody that experiences the system.
Right, of the child, yes.
I guess is what I
child,
can say. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Anybody else? So we're going to take that under advisement, and we'll have some more to say about it next month, or at the latest the following, once we hear what staff and SMA and the council has to say about that, the committee. Any other comments, questions, anything we want to discuss? Anything? Prince George's? Marion Rondo, you guys have anything you want to add? Well, hearing none, we're going to close the open session and go into an executive session about the election.
I don't know.
Open Meetings Act.
Oh. Oh, well, we can't do that.